Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I'm Faye Davis, and I'm here with Carla Soans. And today, we are talking all about the phases that all teams go through, but really with a lens on economic development specifically. So Carla, when we talk about the phases of team development, we usually dive into the Tuckman model, which has five stages. Can you explain a little bit more about this model?
Absolutely. So there are so many models about teams. And I just will start there by saying like the Tuckman model is certainly not the only, but for me, it's one that I always keep going back to because I feel like it's really, really powerful. It just gives you a basis to go back to and understand why a team might be behaving a certain way at any given time in their existence. So the Tuckman model, five stages, and it's about the stages of your team and its development. So as you can imagine, stage number one is where the team forms. So this is, you know, a team has been introduced. Usually at this stage, like everyone's just really polite. Like, to be honest, like everybody's just kind of polite. They're trying to figure out, you know, what do you need from me? How this is going to work? How this is going to go down? So when you think about teams, sometimes people get stuck thinking like, well, our team has been together for a long time, but start to think about like different sub teams, even within your organization, like different work groups that you start, different board teams that you start. And usually at that forming stage, everyone's just kind of trying to figure it out. And then you get to storming. And this is a really, really cool phase, but also super scary as a leader. So in the storming phase, the reality of whatever project, you know, a team is usually formed to do something or to solve a problem. And so at some point, the reality of what that is, what the goal is, and what that will, what it will take for everyone in this group to work together and get to that outcome, there's a reality that happens. And that happens during that storming phase where maybe people aren't as excited. Maybe they don't feel the need to be as polite. They're feeling more comfortable. They're more candid. Sometimes personalities clash because different people have different styles and approaches. And they're kind of vying for like the direction, the role, an understanding of like how the process is going to work of getting to that outcome. And so you have in storming, you have a lot of people, it feels a little out of control sometimes. Like people are kind of done figuring each other out and they're just trying to, you know, run forward. But like anything, you have some people who are early adopters and start running quickly, and that's their way to solving problems is to just dig in. And other people who like to really think about what the strategy is and be more analytical and like plan and, you know, research how others did it. And so you have that clash always of personalities in the storming phase as the work, as the group tries to figure that out. And then you have norming. And that's usually where people start to sit back and say like, gosh, like, you know, so-and-so has a really good strength in this and we should have them do this piece of the work. And so the team usually at this phase, like when people start to really be able to like take a step back and kind of are starting to get into a natural groove, you know, you start to work more cohesively because inherently roles just based on people's styles and their strengths are settled on. And sometimes that is just, you know, kind of stated out loud at some point. And sometimes it just happens organically and people step into those roles. And so, you know, different cultures, you know, kind of go about this in different ways, whether they say this is now the structure and responsibilities and timelines, or whether that becomes organic and just assumed. And then after you're in that norming phase, you really get to performing. And here's where you think about a team. And I know, you know, it's really easy to look at teams, especially like right now we're in like the heat of March Madness, and you see teams that hit this for whatever reason, everything clicks at exactly the right time and they're performing. And those teams are more confident, they're more productive, they're more successful, and they operate a lot more effectively because they've kind of worked through all those clinks and now they're just moving like almost as one. And we talked last week about that symphony. And that's where when you hear, and I don't know about you, I had a middle schooler who did band. And I'm telling you, middle school band is something to just behold, because you came to the concert and before they even started the song, they each kind of section would play a piece, and you could see the director kind of like my son played trombone. So you heard the trombone section, you're like, yikes, that doesn't sound great. And then you'd hear another section and you're like, gosh, like, ooh, like, how is this all going to work? But then when you see them all performing together at a peak, it sounds beautiful. Like they played Star Wars. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I can hear the trombone in that. Without the rest, that was not easy on the ears. And so you think about a team performing, and that's when all those strengths come together and the team really starts moving. And then at some point, teams adjourn and they change, that something radical happens and either the work is done or there's a major shift in the workload, leadership. There's lots of reasons that a team kind of has to start the cycle all the way over. And so you go immediately back into, gosh, we're having to storm again. And when you think about economic development in teams, we're constantly creating new teams, partially because we have people who move into different communities and take different jobs, and partially because we have different elected officials. And so when you think about the partnerships, and even if they're not formal work groups, the partnerships with different elected officials, you know, every election year, you have to start back over at the storming phase in some cases. And then, you know, you kind of have to plug along. So Faye, probably talked too long, but that's kind of my summary of the model.
No, that's a great summary. And actually, you just started talking about something else I wanted to ask you anyway, is, you know, this model can apply to so many different situations. Like you said, sub teams, it can apply to the larger team as a whole inside an organization. Anytime somebody leaves, a new team is formed. But there's also a very specific way this can apply to economic development. And that's kind of thinking about projects, right? We work projects, and that's not just the internal team. We're forming teams outside of our organization with other people. So can you talk a little bit through how this really relates to economic development adventures and teams?
Yeah. And I think like when you think about project teams, like depending on where you're at in the country, and in your community, everyone kind of structures their project teams a little bit differently, but it usually is, you know, people from the economic development organization. Sometimes that sits within a city or a county or, you know, some type of geographical boundary. So you would include other people, maybe elected officials, maybe economic development partners from across, you know, other municipalities. Certainly, you know, when you think about other partners, we often have permitting and water and sewer and electrical and roads and stoplights and curb cuts. And you think about all the different partners that need to be involved for a big project. And so there's a lot of teams that are formed. And sometimes, depending on the project, that team is some of the same players and some different players. And so you're constantly kind of going through these phases. And I think that it's so important for us to just recognize that, because it's really easy, especially when under pressure. And let's face it, with projects, we have people waiting on us and we have deadlines, and it feels like, you know, the heat is on, like there's a win or a lose coming our way, and we need to get it right. And we need to put our best foot forward. And so emotions get high during that time. And just knowing where you're at as a team is so important. And as economic developers, on really being thoughtful about how do you lead the team through these different stages, because it does require leadership to get a team outside of storming and into the next phase. And we see sometimes a lot of economic development leaders that are so technically sound, committed to their work, understand it like no other, but, you know, kind of have the naive thought that the teams will just work themselves out. And my experience is the teams don't often work themselves out. They need leadership. They need leadership to get to that next phase. And that means like role clarification of who's bringing what to the table and what are some of the maybe unwritten rules of engagement around a project. And, you know, that means like, what does the confidentiality really mean in a mm-hmm. project? And what does good partnership really look like in these types of, for these types of projects? And that means that we as economic development leaders have to be willing to facilitate that conversation with our partners on those project teams and help them to better understand why each of their role is important and how it plays into the whole and how we can, you know, really work better in concert together. And that's important work. And it takes time. It takes intention. And I think we often get swept up with the next project and the work and forget that part of our work is to also be intentional about how we can put our best foot forward. And that means having strong teams. And so I just think that we can't skip this step.
No, never, never. Carla, there's also an interesting graph that we found about the effectiveness of a team while they're in each stage. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when you think about, you know, teams, as you can imagine, a team that is storming, they're trying to figure it out. There's usually a lot of tension in a storming team because people are looking at the work from different perspectives, their different skills, they're you know, prompted to action at different times. That time of storming is not a productive time for a team. It's just not. Like, it's an important time, but it's not usually the most productive time. So anything that we can do to shorten the amount of time that a team is in that storming phase where they're kind of clunky and walking all over each other and not really knowing who's in charge, what their role is, and what direction they're going as a team, anything we can do to shorten that, the better. Because teams that are in storming are not productive. You're actually more productive when you first form than when you are when you're storming. And storming is natural. You form and then you storm almost always. But the shorter amount of time that you can spend storming, the better. And then once you're out of that, you kind of move into that norming phase and you're more productive, kind of like you were when you were forming. You're still not, you know, you're not at max productivity and effectiveness, but you're not effective. Mm-hmm. And then you get to, once you get through the norming, then you get to the performing. And so it's our goal as leaders to form, let the group be polite, move them through storming. And that means addressing the tensions. And we talked about that last week. You won't get out of storming without having some uncomfortable conversations and without somebody being bold, being courageous and putting something out there for the group to react to in terms of getting that conversation moved forward. It takes leadership to get out of storming. It doesn't just happen. Somebody has to take a stand and has to be bold, has to bring up hard conversations, has to make a challenge to the team, has to put forward recommendations and start getting the team thinking about their work and their roles together. And then you know, after that, after you hit that high performing, usually something happens and the work is either done and you're celebrating and the project is a win, or you're, you know, going back into kind of the reforming and storming because a major player changed. Like you have a new elected official or a new economic development leader or a new project, and the you know, you're now working on a big office project versus a manufacturing project. So some of the partnerships change. And you change up a few key players and you have to go right back into storming. But the more and more we get comfortable with recognizing when a team is in storming and helping them move out, the better. And that's how we can help teams become more productive. And we all want to be a part of teams that are healthy and productive. And so it takes leadership to do it.
Absolutely. I love how this topic ties in so well hand in hand with what we talked about last week with that healthy tension between your teams, because in this effectiveness of a team throughout each of the phases, it goes hand in hand so much with you know, in that storming phase, there is so much tension and it's unhealthy tension unless somebody steps in to make it healthy and drive that team into that, you know, through the norming and into the performing stage. So Carla, thank you for talking through all of this today. Next week, I'm super excited to talk with you about communication and the responsibility everybody has, not only as an organization, but as an individual. So we'll talk through more of tension and navigating through tension in that conversation. Is there anything else you would like to add in closing?
No, I mean, I will just say, I mean, I think Faye and I have been kind of along on this journey and definitely would not necessarily say that we're at expert level, but have spent our entire career kind of learning about teams and team dynamics. And it's just a real passion of ours. And then you apply that to the work of economic development and our belief in that work and how important that work is. And that as economic developers, we lose so many people from our profession each year because of unhealthy teams, whether it's a project team, whether it's a organization's team, we lose people. And this work is super important. It's really, really important and we have to do better. So if you're on the journey and you want to connect with Faye or I and share ideas, how you're working with your team, you know, how you're leading, how you're developing your own leadership skills so that you can help teams move out of these different phases, please reach out at any time. We're actively looking for buddies in the journey, mentors and peers that can go along on this with us, and also ideas for topics that you think would help as we work with groups to explore how to build stronger and more productive economic development teams.
I love it. Well, Carla, I'm looking forward to our conversation next week. And to everybody listening in, can't wait for you to tune in again. Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.